This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 29th of December, 1956. The title of this lecture is Opening Lecture. This lecture is 60 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Hiya! Thank you. Thank you. Now, we have today here a very informal, really, Congress, mostly to get ourselves back on schedule. We had a Congress in October, an overwhelmingly large Congress in October, August, September. Get me on the time track, somebody. Is there an auditor in the house? And we had a large Congress, which was off schedule. It should have been in June. So the next Congress will be in June. And our Congresses do run Christmas week and June week. And we alternate between these two dates. But this one we wanted to hold just to get on schedule and to get our best friends in here, because we did have some news of some small importance that had to do with something that is going on. And we thought it'd be an awfully good idea if we gave you what we knew now instead of next June when you're all dead. Well, anyway. Actually, the only reason we're giving this Congress, you see, is just to make sure that people will be alive for the June Congress. It's one of those things. Well, today we're just about to begin 1957. Just about to begin it. And we have a hope that there will be a 1957 to begin. We have every hope that this will take place. Of course, it's been happening for a number of years that the new year has been coming in and has been going out and so forth. It's been happening. Therefore, of course, something that has been happening, we can always count on as newly happening, can't we? Or can we? 1957 follows 1956. This, of course, is too great a simplicity. The truth of the matter is, 1957 may follow 1956. And that possibly is with much greater accuracy. But more of that anon. I am very flattered that you came here. I'm very happy to see you. And I hope that this will be a very good Congress, if a small and informal one. So thank you for being here. The things which we're going to take up in this Congress first have to do with the solution of insanity. Insanity leaped up the other day and became a solved problem. Of course, it's been a solved problem for years, except for one thing. We didn't know which button solved it. There were a great many buttons connected with insanity. But we have gotten our sights narrowed down now to a point where it is highly probable that we do have a dead center solution to the subject of insanity, why people go mad, and so forth. Oddly enough, it is intimately linked up with radiation. That's a very odd statement to make. Sounds like we're going to blame radiation this Congress for everything, assign cause, assign cause, assign cause. That is not the case. Radiation is just another symptom of insanity. But it is linked to the entire problem of insanity, and as such, we as Scientologists should discuss it, should look at it, and should brace ourselves a bit. The main problems of the world today are not the problems of who won the election. That's problem enough. It is not the problem of which political party in which foreign country is now running the psychiatric association. That's problem, but not much of a problem. There's problems of distribution, transportation, finance, and always the problem of economics, or where can I get that next buck? That's the ninth dynamic, by the way, the buck. And here we have all of these various problems connected more or less to this whole business of living. But amongst these today, there is a more pressing problem than any one of these. It happens today that one has to regard the game of life on earth as one which needs a playing field, and one gets down to the absolute basic of life on earth. It is, after all, on earth, isn't it? And the necessary parts of the game do include earth, don't they? And therefore, a problem which was about to pull the rug out from underneath one would naturally then be a dominant problem. It would be the first problem you'd have to take up, regardless of how many other problems there were. You could take up the problem of who is carrying the ball and how much is he getting for it from what college coach. You could take up the problem of who's going to want to be president when they get through with this current term. I don't want to be partisan. You understand, I'm not necessarily against this election. I won't throw my politics in. There's no politics in this Congress at all. They're not going to take up politics or any part of politics. Not going to say a word about politics this whole Congress. You understand? Not going to mention it. Not going to mention it. If I inadvertently start swearing or something like that, just delete it. Just delete it. There could be many problems which were pressing, but I think you would agree that the chief problem amongst all these problems would be having a playing field to keep a game going with. That would seem to be an interesting way to approach this problem. Recently, I'd say for the last several months, we have been reading in the papers that a certain agency or bureau has been firing off a number of atomic missiles, projectiles, fusions, and other things. They've been blowing these things up. They didn't have anything else to do, so they were blowing them up. Finally, they made even me realize that they had a bomb. And it's pretty hard to get a message like that through, you know. But they finally convinced me, but they don't yet seem to have convinced the American public or the public of the world. They've only convinced chaps who are a little bit on the qui vive. They've only convinced those of us that can read. And that by far, although a lot of people move their lips, there's a lot of people in this world whose eyes pass along the lines of print without any cognition occurring behind the eyes. And it seems that the world at large today is not in a state of knowingness with regard to atomic fission, radiation, or anything like it. It was with great amazement that the last Congress in London heard some of the data concerning atomic radiation, which data, by the way, is not confidential. If it's confidential, then they'll have to lock up everybody who ever studied elementary physics. If it's confidential data, why, then they'll just have to shut down every science department and every university in the country. And they'll have to put a muzzle on every officer in the armed services that has anything to do with it. The fellow wouldn't be able to talk. If the information concerned with atomic radiation is confidential, then one of these days it would also be secret that fulcrums and balances worked. You see, this isn't the kind of information that can be kept completely confidential. And the public of the world, this earth, at this time, is just now beginning to find out that there was such a thing as an attack on Japan with atomic weapons. 11 years ago. They found this out. Somebody told them. And as we look along the track from 1945 forward, we don't find very much public knowingness nor much official knowingness on this subject of atomic radiation. And I myself couldn't have cared less if it hadn't invaded our business. And it did invade our business. And when it invaded our business, it became our business. Now, somebody blowing up a bomb out in Arizona, Nevada, wherever they blow them up. Somebody blowing a bomb up out there obviously has nothing to do with us. That's a long way away. Or is it? Somebody blowing up a bomb over here in Russia has nothing to do with you processing a pre-clear in Poughkeepsie, does it? No. Nothing at all to do with it. It's simple. Must be a very disrelated factor. The rate of clearing of a pre-clear in Orlando, Florida, has nothing to do with atomic fission, does it? Listen, when these two facts became finally associated, I got red-headed. When I found out there was some possibility that in the work we have done here over the last 5 and 6 years particularly, that we ourselves had been interfered with, and that it was a very intimately connected interference, I decided we better do something about it. And I think that possibly would seem a wise course to you. Can anything be done about this? Now, this whole Congress is not going to be devoted to radiation. Just enough of it to discuss the problem. Is that all right with you? The entirety of the subject is obviously too vast, too mixed up with tremendous numbers of mathematics that nobody ever heard about until somebody invented them, too many bureaus, pieces of paper, professors, profundities. Obviously, the subject is far too deep and wide to cover in one cursory glance. But we can cover that part of the subject which impinges upon our interest, which is that of the human mind and spirit, Scientology and Dianetics. And when it impinges upon Scientology and Dianetics, and it comes close to home, and when a lot of people in this country were working on an uphill climb for years, and the hill was getting steeper and steeper and steeper, well, I don't think we have any right, and I don't think I would have any right to hold the matter confidential at all. I don't care if there was a law passed down here the other day. There wasn't. I don't care if there had been a law passed the other day that said that one got beheaded for mentioning the word fission. I'd still tell you. But no law has been passed yet. That'll probably come next Tuesday. We can still talk about this. But at this moment, so far as we know, all news of radiation is banned in the press of the country. As far as we know, we are operating under censorship today. How do we know this? How would you ever know if you were operating under censorship or not? Well, you'd go try to place an ad in the paper, wouldn't you? An ad that would be normally acceptable, that mentioned a certain word. You can't place an ad in an American newspaper today that carries the word radiation. Did you know that? Well, there's a chap right here in the audience that conducted this experiment for the benefit of this Congress. And it went up to the boards of directors, he was told, or the papers he approached. But this word couldn't be used. No. So we're operating at this moment under something of a censorship. And therefore, I'm taking this opportunity, while free speech still exists, to tell you what I know about this rather silly subject. And then you'll know it too. Is that okay? It's not a very pleasant subject. It's not even a very interesting subject. A fellow wrote a poem one time. And he said that the world wouldn't end with a bang. It'd end with a whimper. That could be true. It could be true. Could be true to the point that the atmosphere possibly could become so saturated with such things as strontium 90, cobalt 60, this 80, that 1812, and other strange words that mean only one thing, radiation. The people would get so sick that no wheels would turn, then what would happen? Huh? Supposing everybody in the world got sick and there was nobody to take care of them. The world would end with a whimper, wouldn't it? There'd be no further food delivered to the door, to the star. There'd be nobody to cook it. Everybody'd be too sick. It could happen that this world could finalize simply by losing all of its food in some fashion. Could end with a whimper, not with a big, gorgeous explosion. I was talking to a professor the other day. He was a real professor. I mean, some people use this word loosely, but this was a real one. He was in captivity up at Columbia University. One of the few left. And he said, atomic bombs. How do I care about atomic bombs? He said, I'm going to get killed someday, and it doesn't matter whether I lie in the ruins of a city blown up or lie in a gravestone dead. What's the difference? Yeah, I looked at him and I said to you, what's the difference? There'd be no difference, would there? In other words, he's got it all mocked up that there's going to be a big bang, see? But he couldn't conceive that there might just be a whimper. There might never be an atomic attack. There might never be another bomb dropped in anger on any city of the world. But there might be enough bomb tests, which are no longer written about, in Australia, in Russia, Bikini, that gradually the atmosphere just saturated. More and more and more and more. People got sicker and sicker, and they wouldn't know what they were getting sick with. Might be good for Abbott and Lilly and Park and Davis's cash registers for a little while, but after a while, who would be there to operate the cash registers? This is a point which the Atomic Energy Commission has never taken into account, and the only thing for which I criticize them, they have never looked around and found their staff was composed entirely of Homo sapiens. They have never made this observation. And that is an important thing that they've overlooked. It's all very well to say, well, we're not quite sure what the saturation point of any of these poisons are in the atmosphere. It's all very well to say we're not sure what this is. But we're sure that it's negligible. We're not sure whether it's 100 rentgen or 1/1000th of a rentgen or 10 kilobombs, but it's negligible. We're watching the fallout carefully, is their motto. Fallout coming down all over the place, and everybody says, hey! And they said, we're watching it carefully. See? We don't care what they're watching. We couldn't care less what they're watching. What we're talking about is the fallout. What is fallout? Does radiation react because of fallout? Nuh-uh. Fallout isn't even important. And if they don't know that, they don't know very much. But then they're the first people to admit they don't know very much. I'm actually not slandering them and not being very critical about them. I'm talking directly across a barrier of communication. There has been a communication barrier thrown across this subject. And we, as scientists in the field of the mind, are entitled to know something about atomic fission and what we can do for it and what it has done to us. We're entitled to know that if we know anything. I think you'll agree that we have a certain right to that information. probably we're the only group on the face of Earth today that could do anything about it. Now, that is a very strong statement. But it is made in the light of this, that nowhere on Earth is there sufficient equipment for fancy medical treatment to treat the number of personnel who are casually interested in the tests. Just the personnel interested in the tests, if they became ill, there is not enough medical equipment, not enough serums and this's and that's and all that to treat just those people. If there is no large amount of treatment facility available, then no matter what they knew about it, it would be unimportant. It is only important to us if we can do something about it on a broad basis without equipment, because there won't be very much equipment. Now, could we do anything about it on a broad basis? Yes. Yes. We are probably the only people on Earth today who could. And that is not an exaggeration. Simply spotting where it happened and where the patient is will take care of a considerable percentage of these burns. Just that auditing process, and no other auditing process than that. Now, of course, you recognize that spotting spots reduces havingness. And so you would have to accompany that with a remedy of havingness. Just an ordinary technique. But we could do that much for it. So we can do something about it. And my first announcement to you is the fact that we face a rather interesting truth, that we are the effective agency in atomic radiation on Earth today, without any authority except the authority of our own postulates, except by the authority of our own knowledge. We're the only ones who could do anything about it, or in fact understand it. You couldn't contain this much knowledge very long. It's not containable. It will reach out. Therefore, it is of interest to us that we who are either casually interested in or well experienced with Scientology at least know the rudiments connected with atomic radiation, burns, their treatment, what causes them, and what happens. It's very easy to give you the information for the excellent reason that most of you are already sufficiently grounded in basics that you use it just like that. The information is so easily transmitted to you that I couldn't possibly take very much of this Congress to tell you about it. It's that simple. Now, we couldn't contain this amount of information in our small group. If people start getting sick, and there's a whisper that anybody can do anything about it, we will have to barricade the doors just to keep the crowd out. It'd be embarrassing to you if I were to start telling people that a Scientologist could do something about this and had neglected to tell you anything about our research on the subject. Of course, I do things like that. But I assure you, it's merely a matter of forgetfulness. Now, right here at the beginning of the Congress, we're really starting out of high gear to give you information of this character and caliber, aren't we? But I think that you'd just as soon start off in high gear, wouldn't you? All right. Atomic radiation is only this. It is a hidden something in space. It is a hiddenness in space. And to resist it or to be immune from it only requires an ability on the part of the preclear to confront space. That's really all it requires. Because if he's able to confront space, then he isn't too worried about the space. In the process of getting a preclear to confront space, you normally encounter the fact that he's afraid something is hidden in it, and in the process of remedying his ability to confront space, we bypass this manifestation that we call radiation, which is something wiggle-waggling out here in space that he can't see. Little rays that go this way and that way and the other way, and he can't see them. So he's worried. He doesn't want to confront space because space may be full of a great many hidden influences. That's about all there is to it. Oddly enough, that's all there is to exteriorization. There isn't anything else to exteriorization. You think this fellow is where he is, dead in his head, because he's fixated on a body. Well, basically, he has simply retreated from space, because he's sure space is full of a great many hidden influences. You take the average preclear, and you ask him to spot spots in space, and he becomes very sick at his stomach, which is one of the symptoms of radiation sickness. That's really all there is to it. Radiation comes along and says, "Say, fella," jab, 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 "confront space." He says, "I won't." So it says, "Oh, you won't?" Pow! Only then can he be hurt, if he's afraid of space. Everybody who is having trouble in exteriorization has space trouble. What is in the space? Question mark. Well, radiation adds that extra something. Now, as far as processing is concerned, the most rudimentary process we have in terms of havingness, which is look around and find something you could have, simply repeat it over and over and over, brings a person eventually up to spotting spaces. If you carry it forward long enough, and if the process was real to him, and he was really in session, he's really being audited, he eventually tells you rather automatically. I mean, it just comes about that he'll say, "Well, I could have that space, and that space, and that space." You've done it. You see this? If you were to ask him to exteriorize at that moment, he would. He comes up through mass to confronting space. So we're not talking about a problem in Scientology. We have had it rigged, figured successfully here for a long time. Maybe some of us didn't know you had to concentrate that hard on it, but actually bringing a person up through a remedy of havingness to the confronting of space is not a problem in the field of the human mind, which is to say Scientology. All right, it's not a problem. Well, then how could radiation be a problem? Well, it isn't. Not to us. But how about the fellow that can't confront space? Is it a problem to him? He already can't confront clean space. To give you an idea, you take him outside, you say, "Let's go for a walk today." And he say, "Oh, no, I'm tired, I've got some work to do," and so on. Why'd he do that? That outdoors out there, you know. The blocks are a long distance away, and, you know, you look out across and you can see a field, and the fence is way over there. And just the thought of walking from here, for instance, to Cleveland would make him very exhausted. Just the thought of it, you know, just getting out and walking to Cleveland. No, I made my point, didn't I? People have to have faster and faster cars, so they won't confront any of the space between point A and point B. People very often, between point A and point B, confront trees and other radiators rather than space. One could say an accident was very often simply a substitute for having to drive any further. Now, space is an interesting thing. We even know what it is. But We ourselves have even been laggardly about this factor of space. We get a cold or something as Scientologists these days. We disgrace ourselves and get the pip. Not supposed to get the pip. We're all supposed to be well all the time, you know. Set a good example. Car runs into us and breaks our back. We're supposed to say, oh, that's all right, old boy, and audit the driver. That's true, isn't it? So we get feeling a little bit bad, a little bit tired, and one of our fellow auditors comes along and he says, well, I'll just remedy having this. Mock up something and shove it into the body. Mock it up, shove it in. Mock it up, shove it in. Mock it up, shove it in. Feel better now? Yeah, oh, I feel fine now. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel fine. I can walk. That's fine, he says. Good. End of session. We start to run the trio on having us. Look around the room and find something you could have, just a process. He runs it as long as we look at objects. Very rarely runs it long enough to confront space. So even amongst ourselves, we have just never run that particular process long enough. Some of us have never run it up to a good reality on havingness, and practically all of us have never run it up to confronting space. Well, then we ourselves are not so prone to radiation, not anywhere near as bad off as the public at large, but we ourselves would be a pushover if the atmosphere supersaturated to great a degree with strontium-90, bonium-60, guffinum-80, Eisenhower-32. Now, we ourselves, in other words, are not proof or prone against this. Matter of fact, I could just villainously talk to you about radiation at this Congress in quite a different way. I could say, boy, it's really bad over there, you know. And boy, it's bad over there. And it's bad over there. And it's just all gonna sneak up on you and poof. And your eyelids will rot off. I give a medical congress speech. Well, one knows when the patient is sick when his eyebrows collapse. And the putrefaction of the kidneys is usually a symptom, you know. We don't care anything about these symptoms because they're not real in themselves. Radiation sickness is simply this, the disintegration of a human body. The disintegration of a human body convinced at last that there will be no more genetic line. There will be no more procreation. There will be no more bodies. And that is any reaction that a person would have toward that postulate would be radiation sickness. So don't look it up in the dictionary to find out or medical symptoms that go this way and that way, because it takes up the whole category. Any way a person could get sick. See, I mean, it's simple. Any way a person could get sick, he'd get sick. Now, you very often read in radiation reports. And by the way, it's high time I told you about this, because I see before me the people who have been sending me all kinds of material on this subject for the last year. And I want to thank you for that material right now and your participation in this particular program, because that material has been very, very worthwhile. If I weren't up here, and if this wasn't being, I mean, if I were just talking to you very confidentially on a street corner or something like that, and this wasn't being taped, well, I could tell you that because of the breadth of Scientology across the world, into my lap came classified information from at least 4 major governments engaged in atomic research. We eventually knew more about it than any one of those governments. And I, of course, would immediately write these people and I would say, now, you know, you really shouldn't be sending me classified information. Of course, the information didn't unclassify just because I read it, because, of course, I have a security rating. You know, it isn't everybody in Washington has a security rating. I'm so secure to psychiatry, they don't even dare mention my name. That's a high classification. Well, anyway, we got lots of information on the subject. And about all we can add this information up to is that atomic radiation makes people sick. How many ways does it make them sick? Well, about as many ways as a person can get sick. And that's an awful lot of ways. But they think that these are the customary common reactions. Prickly, burny type of burn in the face and skin, an upset stomach, lungs go bad, back of the neck feels like it's being put in a straitjacket, muscle aches and pains, headaches, malaise, and malaise. And then we look over here at page one of a medical dictionary, and it says anemia. That's good enough for us. That's atomic radiation. And we turn a few pages, and it says boils. That's good enough for us, atomic radiation. And we turn down the alphabet, any place we find anything, why, we can also find that joined to atomic radiation. You got the idea? Because sickness is merely a symptom of a body disintegrating, and radiation says no more body. See, it says no more line. Life will no longer be tolerated on this planet or in this area and time. And body gets sick. Why? Stimulus response. Every time there was no more body, it got sick, didn't it? So when you say no more body, it gets sick. See, when a person got shot, somebody was saying to that person, no more body. And he felt like he was being shot. So if you shoot him with atomic radiation, he feels like he's being shot. You got the idea. So it is simply sickness. Now, does this have anything to do with us? And remember here, for 6 years, a great many of us here have been working very furiously in the field of the mind. Have anything to do with us? Yes. Why did we have to invent any new techniques? We had some good ones in 1950. Why did we have to invent any faster, easier way to do it? Because what had become hard to work in 1950 had been working very easily in 1947. But what was able to function in 1950 didn't work in 1951 and 2 very well. And what we finally made work in 51 and 52 didn't work very well in 53. And we just had to saddle ourselves with an all-out endeavor to solve the whole thing. It wasn't good enough just to have run an engram and straighten up the track and you got it clear and that's that. That wasn't good enough anymore. Every time we turned around, we'd meet cases this didn't work on. Where were these cases coming from? I didn't meet one of them in 1947. Anybody could run an engram in 1947. Even in 1948, I was down in Savannah, and all I said to a fellow there that had been a psychotic criminal, he was spent, the Savannah Police Department was getting very, very tired of him having his address constantly at the jailhouse. And I took the fellow and I said, the somatic strip will now go to the engram necessary to resolve the case. He was illiterate. And he said, gobble, gobble, wub, wub, and ran through his prenatal bank and ran it out, and that was the end of that. Sane, functioning, straightened up. Why didn't it work in 51? Was there anything around that was making things tougher to work with? Was there anything around that was making the human race and human bodies more anxious about the future? Well, now I'm not here to tell you that there was. I'll just tell you that the curve of difficulty of helping individuals, difficulty of effecting cures, and the saturation of radiation in the atmosphere are the same curves. That's all I'll tell you. I won't even tell you they're interrelated. But I can be suspicious, can't I? The count in the atmosphere has been growing since 1943. The first minor tests have to be regarded as the first radiation or radiated atmosphere on this planet. And then they dropped a couple of live ones on human beings, and the count of radiation in the atmosphere came up a little bit. And then they exploded a few more just for the fun of it and came up a little higher. And then other countries started to explode them, and the count came up, 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 up. Where is it now? Well, Governor Harriman of New York City the other day was forbidden to further test the atmosphere in the city of New York. He was screaming. He says, it's getting dangerous around here. They were finding uranium mines in the Empire State Building. That's very humorous, by the way. There was a time in Arizona when you didn't dare prospect for uranium mines. It was only 250 miles from test explosions, and the dust that was around there was so radioactive that people were staking uranium claims all over the place. And when two prospectors came in my living room and tried to stake one in my piano, I drew the line. Geiger counters were no longer reliable. You put them down any place and they simply said brrrr. In other words, the background count was so high that you couldn't read any count above the background count. In other words, here was a big lot of radiation. Now, we in Dianetics and Scientology have had our hands on an awful lot of this stuff. We have prospected for uranium. We have watched uranium. We have done a lot of things with it. And we have actually also built equipment in an effort to get just anything to develop gamma rays, you know, to find out if you had to have uranium to make gamma rays. We've done a lot of things. We've got a lot of material on this. And when I tell you that the atmospheric count has been going up consistently since 1943 and started crossing anything curiously resembling safety about 1953, I am not talking through my hat. And I am talking right along with the better-informed physical scientists of Harvard, Yale, Columbia, and so forth, which boys started to scream a few months ago and were muzzled. But there's been plenty of data about this. It is not scarehead data. There is a saturation as far as reaction of the body. Any body to date has evidently reacted somewhat to radiation. That is the sad news which I give you at this conference. Anybody, wherever he has been, has reacted to some degree to radiation. And that is not a minor reaction. Now, there are many things I could tell you of very great interest, but possibly you would be much more interested in learning why I am telling you this at all. I'm telling you this because evidently Dianetic and Scientology processing has become more and more difficult to the degree that the people have been hanging on harder and harder to their bodies. In other words, they've been holding on tighter and tighter. Some mysterious something was telling them that something was ending, a way of life was stopping, and they were trying to hold on that one last moment, you know, to stretch out the hold on the body just that much further, and they kept pulling their banks in on themselves as they tried to do it. In other words, a state of anxiety about survival has been experienced by the bulk of the human race in the last 7 or 8 years, increasing. Now, These are not just my figures. They are the mental health figures of the entire world. Why would mental health take a curve? Why would it worsen over a specific time? You see, there was a time when things were much more hectic. Take the 20s. Do you realize that mental health was nowhere near the problem in the 20s that it is today? And remember, in the 20s you had bootleg whiskey. You had all kinds of things. You had the Charleston, the Black Bottom. All kinds of nerve-wracking things existed. Well, why didn't this same curve take place in the 20s? Why does it coincide, this mental health curve, with the curve of radiation saturation in the atmosphere? Why do those two curves coincide? Number of people cracking up, amount of radiation in the atmosphere. The atmosphere in this room at this moment, I hate to have to inform you, has got lots of gamma in it, lots of strontium 90. You could go around and pick it up, get a scientific type butterfly net, and you'd find it. Things that register. It is not a minor affair. This room, 15 years ago, had practically none in it. It was practically an unknown substance, these various radiation substances. They were not in the atmosphere. Now, anybody who is beating a drum is apt to pick up some one thing and blame everything on it. The Indians, when they were being pushed back by the white man, said that it was all because of dogs. They were losing all their battles, and they didn't know why, and their messiahs came along, and they said, it's because of dogs. So they killed off all their dogs. See, in other words, they just found something to blame, and they blamed it. Well, we're not doing this trick because we're not even anxious to blame this stuff. We have some solutions for it. Now, radiation, then, has had an influence upon our lives, whether we would or not. It has had an influence upon our health, and it has had a definite influence upon the behavior of preclears in the hands of auditors. A definite influence. It's quite amazing the degree that that influence has taken place, and it has had an influence on people in making them more anxious about what's wrong with them. They feel vaguely something is wrong. It is hidden. They can't confront it. They do not know what it is. And they say, there's something wrong with me. And then they say, well, it's the government. It's dogs. It's the number of airplanes that fly overhead these days. It's the gas fumes in the streets. It's something. But there's something wrong in the society. There's something wrong with my body. Maybe it's erysipelas, and maybe it's coughitis, and maybe it's this, and maybe it's that. But there is something wrong. And unless they put their finger on it and actually confront what it is, they will simply keep curing the wrong thing. And you can go on curing the wrong thing forever without making anybody well. Let me point that out to you very, very sharply. You can cure the wrong thing forever, and nobody gets well. So it's of interest to us. All right. But I will tell you what really put the coffin nails in the lid as far as radiation was concerned. It's the behavior of a drug known as nicotinic acid. The behavior of this drug was studied in 1950, and we knew what it would do. We conducted several studies of this particular drug, and we knew what this drug would do. Why in 1956 doesn't it do the same thing? The nicotinic acid hasn't changed. The bodies we're testing haven't changed. As a matter of fact, we've even tested some of the people we tested in 1950. And they have a different reaction to nicotinic acid. Wow. What's this all about? Why nicotinic acid? Well, because it seems to have a catalytic effect on running out radiation exposure engrams. It seems to give them a kick and run them through. A person can be hung up in one part of a radiation engram, take some nicotinic acid, and he moves to some other part of the engram. Interesting manifestation. All they were suffering from in 1950 was severe sunburn. Now they're suffering from nausea and other things from the same drug in the same dosages, which I think you will agree is a particularly peculiar piece of evidence to lie in the hands of a group. Accidentally, we made the tests. Then I tried to find something that would influence radiation, remembered the tests on nicotinic, and people took some nicotinic, and we did some tests on this, and we found out that today nicotinic was acting differently. Sunburn is radiation exposure. The sun is a radiation type explosion. And today, nicotinic acts differently on people than it did in 1950, and the effect is much more severe, much worse. And we begin to add all this up, add all these columns up, and we come to the conclusion, finally, that we do have some data concerning radiation, that radiation, not as an old wives' tale or something to scare the little kids with, and not as something to cuss the government about, since they don't know what they're doing. I mean, there's no reason to blame them. They think they're proceeding very decently. I got a lot of friends in that outfit, by the way. I got lots of friends in that outfit. They tell me I don't know what I'm doing these days, which I think is white and honest of them. All right, if that is the case, if we have some data about it, if there is something going on, and if we know about it positively and we aren't just guessing, why, then it becomes actually a reprehensible thing for me not to give you the information, whether it is interesting to you or painful to you or not. Don't you see? I am responsible for giving you that information. And so at this Congress I will do so, and I've already given you quite a little bit of it. The whole subject of radiation to a Scientologist is a sort of a ho-hum. Once he knows it's inside his field and understanding, it's definitely ho-hum. But to a preclair who felt fairly well 10 years ago and doesn't feel well now, it certainly isn't ho-hum. You say, when did you say you haven't been feeling well for some time. When did you start feeling poorly? Oh, about 47. No, 45. Well, where were you in 45? Oh, Texas? Oh, he was in Texas, huh? They blew one up in Los Alamogordos. In other words, he was practically on the scene and didn't even know it. He hadn't been feeling well since. He's been getting worse. And you start to run him directly toward being able to confront some space and so forth, and he feels better and better, and then he finds himself in a stuck scene in Texas in 1945. What's he doing there? There's nothing happening. He's just surrounded by sagebrush. Are there any Texans in the audience? I apologize. There are trees in Texas. It's a commercial. There are. I've seen them. Didn't know I was still in Texas. And what's he doing with a stuck Vizio? What's he doing with a view of the plains of Texas with nothing happening? Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Why, when we process people who have been in Phoenix, Arizona over a period of time, do they find themselves with engrams composed of Main Street, Phoenix? during the time of the blow-off of bombs up in Nevada. See? Bomb goes off. Guy gets an impact from it. Doesn't consciously realize what it is. Sticks on the track right at that point. It gave him an engram. He didn't even know he had it. He doesn't know, then, what made him start feeling bad. And it is the unknowingness of what happened to him, more than the happenstance, that subsequently made him ill. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of getting tired of a preclear and said, well, there isn't very much you can do for you. You have engramosis. You know, just... you've got engramosis. Worst case I ever saw in my life. And he says, I have. He says, is that dangerous? He's terribly. He feels better. You can always make somebody feel better by pushing in a datum on him that explains the whole thing. Right? He feels uneasy when he doesn't know what's ailing him. But you tell him engramosis, and that's a substitute, of course, for the truth, but it's better than nothing. As a matter of fact, the whole field of medicine did nothing else for the first 1,000 years of its existence. It did it clear up till about 2050. Anyhow, we have an interesting thing that pointed this up to us. Only those personnel who had been in Phoenix and who were, at the time this happened, in London. In other words, these people who had been in Phoenix. Here in London, the people became ill immediately on the heels of some Russian atomic tests. They all became ill, and only those people became ill, and nobody else got sick. Here we had people who had been heavily exposed. Of all the London population, they had been the most heavily exposed. And here, all of a sudden, every one of them was sick. But the other people around them were only vaguely uncomfortable. But these people were sick. Coordinated datum, isn't it? They actually remained rather ill until fairly recently when we pumped some dianazine in their direction and they snapped out of it and went on their way again. But why was it that this compound that doesn't affect coals made these people well who were apparently all suffering from coals? Interesting question, isn't it? In other words, we have a great deal of coordinative data that demonstrates that Earth today is not the Garden of Eden unradiated that it once was. But we do not necessarily face an Earth which ceases to exist entirely for us. Because with the information which we have, it could probably be as hot as a small sun. We could probably still live on it. Exteriorized, of course. But the main thing about it is, we do have information. This information is yours. We're glad you came. And I will tell you what I know about it, and then get on to more interesting things. Thank you.